Hi, everybody. It's Peter Hassett, and this is the RMNB podcast. It's the very end of 2017, which I think we can all agree was just a terrific year. I think we all had just the best possible years. Definitely nothing bad happened in it. I thought that we could take this final weekend of 2017, the year that we all got Sasha, bad Sasha-esque, to look back on just all the wonderful, great things that happened in Caps hockey world. And to do that, I invited Ed Frankovic, a person who doesn't agree with me about really anything about hockey, to hop on the RMNB podcast and for us to fight for your enjoyment, like a gladiator thing, like a Thunderdome thing. So that's what I thought would happen. What ended up happening wasn't quite that. It turns out that... you know, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Peter and Ed agree about hockey stuff. So we're going to talk about, you know, the Caps' recent losing skid and turning it around against Boston. But really, this is a look back on all of 2017 on, you know, Ovechkin's scoring resurgence and TJ Oshie's and Evgeny Kuznetsov's big contract and what went wrong against the Penguins and what the Caps lost in the offseason and what they gained and, you know, what's going on with the team's depth and, you know, top line Tom Wilson and really everything that you want to argue about, that's going to be here. With an eye towards 2018, here's our 2017 in review with special guest Ed Frankovic. Welcome to the RMNB podcast. Let's do this one more time.
And now it's time for the RMNB podcast.
Good morning, everybody. I'm here with Ed Frankovic of WNST AM 1570, former stat keeper for the Caps back when they were good for the very first time, I'd imagine, and professional zebra hunter. one of my favorite people to follow it and read in the hockey world. Ed, thank you so much for hanging out on the RMNB podcast.
It's my pleasure to join you guys. I'm a big fan of your site, as you know. I plug you guys when I can on the radio and in my blogs. I think you do outstanding work, that team you got there, and I'm really happy to be joining you guys.
The pleasure's all on this side of the podcast. So I like you said when we picked up here, I thought that that this was going to be us talking about a four-game losing streak in the middle of a season that was surprisingly good so far, but thank goodness the Caps got that 4-3 shootout win over the Bruins, snapping a three-game losing streak and giving them their 12th straight win over a team that it's just baffling that they keep beating, the Bruins, who have not been that bad. I know they've had some trouble scoring, but they're a darn good team.
Yeah, I agree, Peter. Boston's been probably, next to Vegas, the hottest team in the league. And I really thought for sure when they got up 2-0, they were going to finally end this streak. And the Capitals, they do match up well with Boston. I mean, if there's one thing Boston's probably lacking a bit, it's speed. So I think that's one of the big reasons the Capitals and Coach Trotz have. I mean, they're on the Caps. I think Trotz is undefeated, right? 12-0 against these guys in 4 years.
I think that's right.
I think a lot of that is the matchup. And you look back on the back end of Boston, they're not real fast back there. Zdeno Chara, good defenseman, but not a lot of speed. Torrey Krug, I mean, Jacob Verana has really exposed him as to chase on in the game up in Boston. So they've exposed the lack of speed I think Boston has on the back end. I think that's where the Capitals really take advantage of Boston. So it's been a great matchup for the Capitals. It's too bad that they aren't in their division, and that was the team they had to go through to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Instead, it's Pittsburgh, a team that they really struggle with.
Would that it were. That would be a fantastic thing. Yeah, I was a bit surprised that it's worked out so well. Brad Marchand was a player that I was really dubious about and I disliked a lot a handful of years ago. And if for anyone thinking he was a one-dimensional player, you along with me have been proven wrong about that over time, that he's a darn good player. And paired up with Bergeron there, that is a fearsome line. And I was surprised to see, you know, like Verana just soaring through the ice like that. And I thought the whole game would go like the first 3 minutes of Thursday's game, where the Caps were just stuck in their own zone, and there was a sort of tenacious forecheck from Boston that, you know, ended up with two goals in the back of the net, and the team looking totally lifeless, and they turned it around. That's a testament to, you know, coaching and the determination of this team right now.
Yeah, it really was a amazing turnaround, Peter, to be honest. I mean, we saw the Vegas game where they came out flat. We saw the start of the Ranger game, they were flat, and the start of the third period against the Ranger game, they were flat, and they seem to be moving a step slower. The passes are off. They're trying too many cross ice in their own zone. You know, that, you learn that when you're a mite hockey.
Yeah,
you go up the board with the puck, not up the middle. And it's like, you know, Christian Hughes tried the one in Vegas, and you see Carlson doing it. You see. I mean, there's nobody. Every guy on the back end is guilty. Madison Bowie made some bad passes. But the way they battle back, I think it says a lot about the character of the team. And that's something that gets criticized a lot, right? And how often do we hear Alex is not a leader, Ovechkin's not a leader, you know, he doesn't know how to lead this team? And, you know, I really felt that after that Ranger game, he came out and he said, look, we've got to simplify the game. We got to get playing more north-south hockey, which you hear Alan May saying all the time on TV. You know, you watch the teams that do very well. They're the teams that get the puck deep. They're the teams that get the puck on net, either behind the net. They're going to the net. I mean, if you watch Vegas, they're totally north-south. They don't come across the blue line and go cross ice like the Capitals tend to do when they get in their bad ruts. And, you know, Ovechkin certainly stepped up his game on Thursday night. And afterwards, Coach Trotz even pointed out, he said that the team kind of came to life after that hit Orpikat at neutral zone, kind of brought the Caps into the fight. And if you look at the hits on Thursday night, the Capitals had 37 hits to only 14 for Boston. They were physical. They got, and that's my big complaint with the Capitals is when we talk soft hockey. Soft hockey is not battling on the boards, not winning those battles, those one-on-one battles, and where TJ Oshie's really good at. Now, he's struggling because of his concussion issues. But it's winning those one-on-one battles that leads to these scoring chances. And sometimes the Capitals just think they can come out, because the Capitals are a very skilled and talented team. They can just think they can come out and pass around everybody and score. And it just doesn't work at this level.
Which is why, like, Oshie's style has been such a compliment for the team over the last couple seasons. Like, when he brings, you know, he does have that finesse. He does have that north-south play. But he will make you pay the price if you want to carry the puck around him and near the boards. And I love that about Oshie's style. I'm hoping that we'll see the Oshie of old. He did have obviously he had a troubled game last night, but he did lead the team in shots on goal. I really think that he can turn around and come back. He may just need a little bit more time. After that, you know, fourth career concussion too. That really kind of like sticks in your craw. You know, you worry about, you know, an 8-year investment on a player like that. You don't worry about that player himself. You know, that is a tough barrel to look down, knowing that you've had at least four concussions in the past, and you've got, you know, the better part of a decade ahead of you.
Yeah, that's definitely scary, and he looks a little bit off. And yeah, you're right. He did have six shots on net, and he could easily scored a goal. And there was actually one chance, I think, when it was 3-3 late, he had a great chance in front. He tried to go backdoor to Ovi and probably should have shot there. And that's one of my complaints with Osh is he's got such a good shot, he's got to use it more. Same thing with, like, Kuznetsov. Like, we see when Kuznetsov is when the defense doesn't know whether he's going to shoot or pass, how deadly he is. I mean, when you look at the stretch the Capitals had where they won 11 of 13 games, it was really the way he and Backstrom, I mean, you put those two lines out there, they were dominating. And the game really goes through the center of the ice. That's why they've had so much problems with Pittsburgh through the years. Pittsburgh's been loaded up the middle of the ice until this year. They lost their third and fourth line center, and we can get into that later. But when Kuznetsov and Backstrom are playing the right way, the Capitals are very hard to beat.
Yeah, if you get that top six cooking right, you got that stew with all the right ingredients bubbling right. Even if the bottom, you know, even if like a Beagles line is struggling and you've got like a third pair defense that's not working, you're still going to get most of your shifts, you know, in the offensive zone, making chances. And you're absolutely right about Kuznetsov. I even like Kuznetsov and Oshie in those low positions on the power play, because it's such a multifaceted attack. Everyone's paying attention to Ovi. You've got Backstrom having that really strong possession along the half wall there, and then they can go below the net, then go right up the throat of the net, and there's, you know, a bunch of different ways they can get you, even though they're mostly going to get you with Ovi eventually from the spot. It's an exciting attack there.
Yeah, that goal Ovi had on Thursday night, man, what a howitzer. And And it was a great pass by Carlson because he really faked the shot and then slid it over. But I agree with you. What I think they need to do, because they were in a 1-for-23 funk before that goal in the power play. And and I think what they need to do, what they need a little more of is they need to, Backstrom's got to keep him a little more honest. He's got to shoot from that side just every now and then.
Yeah.
Just to bring that defenseman towards him more. And Carlson's got to do a better job. And I'm a big John Carlson fan, but he's got to get that shot harder and on net, and it's got to be low for rebounds. And what I'd also like to see them do on the power play is, you know, they got that first unit, and I don't think they're going to blow that up. I mean, as much as we get frustrated with it, it's just so deadly with Ovi where he is. But what I'd like to see them do with the second unit is completely put out with a totally different, when they put the people out, come out with a totally different set, right? I'd like to see that second unit be two bodies in front, or two bodies down low, and let's let Orlov fire away. Right, that guy's got a fantastic shot, and I think Wilson was out there a few weeks ago when they finally scored a second unit power play goal. I think it might be the only one of the year. I'd like to see Wilson out there, and whether it's Verana or Connolly or Burkowski, they just need to get. I think that second unit with Niskanen and Orlov needs to be more focused on point shots from the middle of the ice, with guys going in the net in traffic. And I think that would really put the other team on their heels and give them two nice units. Right now, it's just the same thing, and it's getting pretty easy to defend. Although, when Carlson makes a pass like that and Ovi has a shot like that, there's just no stopping it.
Maybe that's something we'll see in 2018 as we look down the end of 2017 wrapping up here. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the old potty here is to talk about 2017 in review. Yet another tumultuous year in Caps history, and you and I come down on different positions about some topics, and I thought it'd be good for us to just sort of look back and reminisce about the good and bad things of the year. I'd like to start with the thing that I thought was most encouraging about this year, which would be Alex Ovechkin's scoring resurgence. I think he opened up the season with back-to-back hat tricks at the age of, what is he, 33? Which is
32.
An astonishing feat for somebody in his 30s. I think right now he's probably still tied with, is it Kucherov that he's tied with out of Tampa at 24
goals?
Yeah,
I don't think Kucherov scored last night, so they're 24 each, I think.
Yeah, so
I didn't check the Kucherov.
How is Ovi keeping it going? He had one of his lowest outputs last season, and mid-30s, 33 goals, I think, is what he had. I think he tied with Oshie for the team lead. What did you make of Ovechkin producing big numbers again?
Well, let's start with why I think he had a down year in 2016-17. And I think if you'd have had this Alex Ovechkin in the spring, I think we would have had a parade. Ovi got married. Unofficially, I guess it was. He had the celebration this summer, but he got married the year before. And I actually heard, I've talked to people around the team. Actually, the coach told me in March when we had him out for a WNST radio session that Ovi basically chased his conditioning all season. He was not in Ovi shape, right? He was slower. He was overweight. And I really think that had he been in the condition he is now, that hit Nazem Kadri put on him in the playoffs doesn't happen, because I think Ovi avoids that because he's faster. I mean, you watch him on the ice. He's so much faster. He got in incredible condition this summer. I mean, the minute he came back, and we all saw the picture, I think you guys probably posted it because you guys are so good on that social media, getting that stuff out there. I took one look at that picture and said, he's scoring 50 goals this year, because I could see he trimmed down right away. You just looked at his face and his thinner. As an old guy who knows what it's like to have a few too many Cokes like Ovi and a little bit of vodka, you have to cut that back and figure out how to change your diet and get yourself and lose 15, 20 pounds. And you can do it. I mean, I did it at age 50. He's doing it at age 32. It makes a difference. And, I took one look at him and said, this guy's going to be faster. He'll be able to play both ends. You see, he's got that burst back, but he's got already as many even strength games goals this year as last year. So I really think, and Ovi, and then I'll be honest with you, Peter, in 2015-16, I thought Ovi was incredible. I mean, Ovi did everything he could to help carry this team past Pittsburgh that year, but he just didn't have the help. They had too many injuries on the back end. Remember, Alsner's groin went, and they still, Orlov and Schmidt were playing their first playoffs, really, and so, Pittsburgh just wore them down on the back end. But last season, there's no excuse. They should have won. Ovi gets hurt, and I think that changed everything. He probably shouldn't have played game four. And then, to be honest with you, it's this pattern we see when the Capitals struggle. It's this this men, they tend to panic, and they tend to think, okay, as soon as I get over the blue line, I got to go cross ice and make a pass. I don't, you know, and they get into that panic style, and Pittsburgh was just sitting right there waiting for it, and they would just counterattack. And that game seven was the worst game they played all series when you go back and look at it. So it was frustrating. I'm thrilled that Ovi went and got himself in better conditioning. He changed his training. No doubt about it. You could see the results. I mean, the first game, you could see the burst out of him. And he's a different player, and I think he's been great on this all season. I can maybe – there's less than three or four games out of, what, 39 so far where I can say he didn't have a good game.
Yeah, I totally agree. The his 5-on-5 production last season was a little bit depressed, but he looks like he's got a little bit more spring in his step this season. I think we're seeing that, you know, stylistically when he's, and it doesn't always work out, but he does try to go a little bit Rambo style, a little bit one-on-one against defensemen sometimes. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, a little stick check will end that, but it also does just put the fear of God into the opposing defense and open them up for secondary attacks. And I'm really liking what I'm seeing out of him. I think that we're in for a treat later this season. I hope that he can avoid injury. I think that the thing that Ovi had a tendency to do, and maybe his bigger size helped to mitigate this a bit, was he tended to get some wear and tear as the season went on. And man, there was no better example of it than that monster bruise that he had after that Kadri hit after the Toronto series last year. His wife shared that photo. And man, Ovi's leg was just wrecked. I wouldn't be walking around my apartment after that. And Ovi was playing professional hockey against the eventual Cup winner, so a little bit of a heartbreak. Meanwhile, the probably the biggest thing that happened over the off season was the signing of two forwards, Evgeny Kuznetsov, to a big deal, and the negotiation there was a little bit complicated by Kuznetsov being approached by the KHL to return, and sort of giving him more leverage than he might have otherwise have had, and also signing TJ Oshie to an 8-year deal. I know that's something that you and I didn't necessarily come down on the same side as. I was worried about Oshie's ability to keep that goal scoring up, and thinking that for a contract that long, even if the value, I think the annual value is pretty great on that contract, but I worry about the last 4 years, maybe even 5 years of that deal. That said, when this season started, before he had that head injury, Oshie was scoring like a demon again. What do you make of the deal? Why do you think that my pessimism or skepticism about the Oshie deal is unfounded?
Well, I mean, I think if you're looking at the contract, it's fair to criticize that, much like, you know, the Brooks Orpik contract. When you're looking at the dollars and the age, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't have a big issue with that. But where I'm coming from is I just don't think this team has anybody in the organization that can do that, play that role, right? He was such a key component of the team. And you heard Brian McCollum say, when I talked to all the other players on the team, he's a guy that, you know, brings energy every time he's in the locker room and makes the players better. And I also think, you know, when you look at some of his numbers from St. Louis, I don't think you can compare them. I mean, I really think you got to throw those out, because he wasn't playing with Nicholas Backstrom and Evgeny Kuznetsov or Alex Ovechkin. I don't think it's any surprise that his numbers all, you know, shot up like a rocket when he got playing with these guys, because the way the Caps are built, other teams are geared to stop Nicholas Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin. So that opens up a lot of lanes for Oshie. So I was not surprised. I wish TJ would shoot more. That's my biggest criticism of him, because he has a very good shot. He did take, when you look at his shot numbers from 15-16 to 16-17, I think he did actually take more shots. The problem was he missed the net more. I believe when you're looking at shooting percentage, I really think you should factor in the misses and the blocks. I hate that. But the league's been doing this shooting percentage based on shots on goal for forever, and that's a stat they'll keep. But, you know, if we're going to look at Corsi and shot attempts, and I really think you should do your shooting percentage based on all three categories. But the thing I like about Oshie, and the thing about Oshie, had you take Oshie away, they don't have any other right wings in the organization that could play number one right wing or number two right wing. I love the way Tom Wilson's playing this year. He's been a big boon. He's really stepped up. But I don't think he's ever going to be a number one right wing, Peter. I just don't think he has the skill set at the hands to do that. Maybe he could be a two, but, I mean, I've always thought of Tom as like a third right wing. I always felt like when I talked to my friends or scouts around the league, I said to Tom Wilson, where do you see him? He's going to be a very good penalty killer, great third-line guy, could pump in 20 goals in the season if he gets on the right line. But he's not a top-end guy, and you look at where he was drafted. The guy who was the top-end guy, we know who that is. He's in Nashville right now, okay? So I really felt like, you know, if they keep Forsberg, they never need Oshie, right? But they lost Forsberg, so they had no right wings. So they and part of the complication was that was our buddy Adam Oates was the coach at the time, and he had Ovi on the right side, which Ovi prefers the left side. So they felt like they had too many right wings when they had Oates here at Ovi, so that's why McVie makes that move. And we all know how that turned out. And so now suddenly you have no right wings, okay? And you got plenty of left wings because you've got, even though, you know, they have Johansson, but he's gone now, but they have Burakovsky, they got Verana, you know, they have Ovi on the left wing. I mean, they're solid on the left side of the ice, but on the right side of the ice, there's not much there. It's Tom Wilson, right? And, you know, Brett Connolly's playing, you know, they got Brett Connolly there. They got, I guess Burakovsky can play the right side as an off wing, but that's why I felt they had to keep Oshie. They just had to. If they tried to do a 5-year deal, the numbers don't work, right? Oshie says, well, I can get $7 or $8 million elsewhere, right? So they really had no choice. I mean, it's like the Kuznetsov deal, and you guys did a great job of chronicling that. But he really held the Caps hostage. I mean, Kuzi's done this to the team twice. So he's really got to come through this year because he did it when he stayed over in Russia for 3 years because he felt like he was going to be on the Olympic team, and he never did. That really hurt the Capitals then. And they made a lot of moves that hurt them along the way that eroded some depth they could have had. You know, they make the Mike Ribeiro trade, trading Cody Eakin, who could probably be a pretty good third-line left wing right now on this team. But they needed a center at the time because Kuzi was staying 3 years over in Russia. So there's a lot of things that happened that went against them. But yeah, I really think that Oshie, and I didn't you have a bet with Ian or something about 30 goals 1 year with Oshie, and you just missed that or something?
I've had a bet with Pat for the last two. Well, I had one 2 seasons ago where I said that Oshie would score 30. That was the season he didn't, but he ended up, you know, having a really hot postseason. And then this season, I did not make the bet, and he did score 30. I think that Ian had a bet with Nathan from TJ Yoshi, formerly Brower Rangers, formerly Knubel's Knights, about the Oshie deal as well, the 30 goals thing. So egg on everyone's faces, but in a good way. I'm interested in what you said about Tom Wilson there. So like I feel like I think I ended up being pretty pessimistic about Tom Wilson within the role that he'd been playing over the last few years. You know, he had a couple auditions up on that top line, but had mostly been, especially in the last few seasons, third line, fourth line player. And I was not enthused at all about his individual production or you know, limiting opponent chances or anything like that. I thought that we were looking at a player who, while not, you know, a bust, meaning, you know, not inviable on the NHL level, but a player that was deeply underperforming, aside from, I think, pretty genuinely solid penalty kill performance. That said, when I see him on that top line, and it doesn't make, you're right, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense regarding like complementary skill sets, I think that those results are really encouraging. And I'm not sure how best to put it yet. You know, I remember when Trotz had Wilson up there a couple years ago, Trotz would say that, you know, too many plays were dying on Wilson's stick. And I think, you know, that speaks to the truth that Wilson especially wasn't great in that moving from neutral into the offensive zone and generating that first chance. I think that he got stripped or attacked a little bit more aggressively, perhaps because defensemen like to be aggressive when Ovi's on the ice. That said, we've only seen it for about like 200 minutes this season, and I liked everything I saw. I understand why Trotz had to shake it up against Boston, but if that is Wilson's role and they can get that kind of output, I think they were outscoring opponents 12-4 over those 200 minutes. I'd say roll with that as long as you can, and maybe you got, you know, then you can put Oshie with Kuznetsov, and then Kuznetsov has, you know, a little bit more support there than he has. You know, a Verana Kuznetsov Oshie line is ridiculously skilled if they can get into the ozone. I'm thinking that there's a top six here that I wasn't sure the Caps had in October, and as conflicted as I was about the Oshie deal and definitely the Kuznetsov deal as well, I feel like even if they aren't ready to admit it, the Caps are still kind of all in on this team, even if they don't think they're cup contenders, because they, you know, they've got all the pieces they probably can get without some radical moves. So they need to take this thing as far as they can go right now.
Well, they do think they're cup contenders, and I've talked to Brian McClellan a couple times when I've been out at the rink over the last couple months. At one point, when he was pretty frustrated when things weren't going very well, and we talked about, you know, who wasn't performing, and Kuznetsov was one of them. He needed to get Burkowski going, then he got hurt, and then I remember talking to him the one night. It was actually, I think it was the night of Verona. They lost the game to Calgary, but Verona, it was right after Verona was scratched in Colorado. And Brian and I were chatting. I said, well, you know, it's not going very good tonight here, Brian, but I said, it looks like we got Verona going. And sure enough, he's taken off since that game. And it was after that Calgary game where I think they got the message and they went on that run. You know, it's like, Okay, let's stop with these crazy passes and turnovers. Let's start shooting. And Kuznetsov was the big driver there. I love the Kuznetsov, Verona, Oshie line like you do. I think Verona has been a very pleasant surprise. He has really taken his game to another level. I don't know what happened, but when he's on the ice, he opens things up. I mean, he went around Krug last night to draw that penalty when it was 2-1. That was 23 seconds after Eller scored. And let's give Tom Wilson props because he made a good play coming out of the zone, getting the puck out of the zone, and then he makes the hit on the wall that gets the puck to Eller for that goal. So I like, you know, this top six. I think, you know, and Brian likes to talk about a top nine, and I think Wilson could be a third or first, right? You can reverse that depending on the matchup, and they were rolling. I mean, that game Wilson had against the Rangers was just incredible. The way he used his speed to go around Ryan McDonagh, wow. I mean, I think we all went, wow. And he can, and he has the wheels. And let's be honest with Wilson, the Caps screwed him up coming out. He should have never been up here that first year. They should have kept him down in Plymouth and let him play another year. I know George didn't want him to fight down there, but you know what?
He fought
in the OHL, the fight's... Go ahead, Peter.
I was saying, he fought up here anyway.
Yeah, he fought up here, so he would have fought less in the OHL. The OHL, the fights are going down and down the way it is with the head injuries. They're more aggressive up there in that league in terms of going against the CTE issues than they are at the NHL level. He really needed that year to develop his hands and his game, and you know, Oates had him up here 5-6 minutes fighting, and you know, it's taken Trotz a long time to get him back. And remember, he had that injury in the off season the one year where he didn't really train, so that hurt him. So I think we're finally seeing a lot out of this guy this year. I mean, he's been impressive, and you know, I know you guys love the shot attempt stats, and I do too. And it's a piece of the puzzle when you're looking at everything. And he's driving possession. I think he's been. I mean, every night when you get the stats out from Tommy Chalk there with the Cavs PR, Wilson's a leader in driving possession right now. So so to shift him with Eller and Connolly really worked. I mean, that line was big on Thursday against the Bruins. I'm sure we'll see him back with Backstrom and Ovi. The nice thing there is Willie can hit, right? Willie can open up space for those guys. And when he's moving his legs and using his speed, it is nice. So, you know, I like that line too. So I like the diversity, if you will, that Trotz has with that top nine because he can shift Willie around. He can move Burkowski. Burkowski can play third. I mean, they're struggling. And Burkowski played 8 minutes and change last night. That's a guy they got to get going. So they're winning. What, they're 9-2-2 in December, and he's not even really playing well. He's had one good game. So there's a guy I think that's going to get back to that level we saw in the playoffs, and I think that's going to help as well.
So I think what Wilson can bring to that top line. There's few players on the Caps or anywhere else that are as strong on the puck as Nick Backstrom is. And I think Wilson gives him a little bit more space just by being so darn intimidating. That takes Backstrom from being, you know, a real good puck carrier to maybe one of the league's best. And I love that line. I also like what you said about the top nine in general. I think that McClellan's right about that, especially that, you know, that Eller, Connolly, Burakovsky trio. I know they're a little bit of a dark horse, and Connolly's had a rough start with his own injuries. Burakovsky's had two hand injuries in 2 years, and Eller's got a little bit of a penalty issue when he's not carrying the puck. But I think that those guys could get back to their form from last season where they were scary dominant and driving quality as much as just, you know, raw shot volume. I think there's some real good stuff going on there. That said, I want to talk about those struggles from earlier in the season. And I think, you know, the injuries that all came up all at once, especially above everything else, that Niskanen injury, which was just totally devastating to the blue line. I mean, the Caps were pretty struggling late in October and in November, and maybe a week before Thanksgiving was when it was at its nadir.
you know, eventually Connolly came back, Niskanen came back, Burakovsky's back, but not yet, you know, playing like he oughta. And the Caps were bringing in players that ideally you wouldn't want to see getting, you know, 10, 15 minutes a night, or in, like, you know, Brooks Orpik's case at 37 years old, getting, you know, 24 minutes a night, which is just, you know, even McClellan knows that that's too much. Even Trotz knows that's too much. But they didn't have a choice if your fourth line is or your third pairing is Chorny or Ness or Madison Bowie, who are all unproven as of yet at the NHL level. What were you thinking when the Caps were doing that bad? And were you at fear of, or were you thinking that the Caps were about to make a big splash, maybe shaking things up? Or, I don't know, how bad do you think it got?
Well, I was certainly concerned. I know talking to Brian, he was frustrated. It's like, what's going on here? I mean, certainly, yeah, the Niskanen injury was a killer, and Matt's been up and down even after coming back. You know, you're breaking two rookie defensemen in. You're breaking some rookies in the lineup. I mean, Verana was really struggling at that point. So you've got Nathan Walker, you know, had a great preseason, didn't get a whole lot of time. That was a bit of a head scratcher for me. I really like his speed, but this organization seems to favor size over speed at times. But I was concerned. Orpik did play a lot of minutes, and he's done quite well to hold in the role he's had to play, a role they did not expect him to play. And I think as the season goes on, we'll see his minutes come down, and you'll see more to, like, Juice. And remember, Juice was hurt for a little while there too, which didn't help, because he's a pretty good puck mover, and he's still learning the defensive end. I like Bowie. I think he's going to be a good player as well, and they're going to make mistakes. I mean, I liken Bowie and Juice right now to Orlov and Schmidt a few years ago, when, you know, that second year under Trotz, when Mike Green was gone. You remember that first half of the year, Orlov was a turnover machine. Schmidt struggled. And I think Todd Reirden's a brilliant defensive coach. I think he's done a fantastic job. And I think one of the reasons they went, ended up going 7-3-1 in that expansion draft, was just because they knew they had a lot of young defensemen that were on the verge of coming up. And yeah, there's going to be growing pains, but they like the job that Todd Reirden does back there. And so, yeah, when it was going bad, I was concerned. I was wondering, you know, are these guys not listening to Trotz? Do they need a trade? Because I really felt like they had the talent. I still feel like they have the talent. I feel like they have, with the way the league is now, with the expansion draft and the salary cap, everybody's watered down. I mean, there's no dominant team out there. Pittsburgh lost their third and fourth line center. I mean, where did the Capitals lose a lot of these games the last 2 years? It was Nick Bonino and Matt Cullen with big goals in the playoffs, yeah, where the Cavs bottom six, you know, when we had Richards and Beagle were third and fourth line center, and then last year was Eller and Beagle? I mean, they lost a lot of the playoff series in the bottom six the last couple of years. So I really think that's a big problem with Pittsburgh right now, is the third and fourth line center. They don't have up the middle of the ice, and they've lost some guys on D. I think Bowie and Juice are going to come along, but the question is, are they ready for playoff hockey? And that's a big if. And I really think what you're going to see Brian do at the deadline is they're going to do Rene-D. They're going to do a Rene-D on somebody. It's not going to be the Kevin Shattenkirk type nature. Pittsburgh certainly got unbelievable production out of Ron Hainsey last year at the deadline for like a third or fourth round pick, whatever it was. I think you're going to see a deal like that the Capitals will make, and hopefully it's a guy who can skate and play, not like a, you know, like a Mike Weber that really struggled, and that had they played him, he might have been better, but they just sat him for so long and he rotted. So I think you're going to see that, but they're committed to these young guys. They're committed to Bowie and Juice on the back, and I think they're going to be good players. I talked to scouts around the league, and they're very high on Madison Bowie. They think he's going to be a very good player, but you got to go through the growing pains. He certainly had a horrible start to the game like a lot of other guys on Thursday night, but I love the way he played the last 35 minutes. He made a really good play. I think it was on the Connolly tying goal. So, you know, with Orlov, we had to live with the good and the bad, and now look how good that guy is. I mean, that guy's a rock star back there. I can't say enough good things about Dmitry Orlov. I look at that $5 million deal he got a year. I think it's a bargain the way that guy's playing. I want to see more of that guy. I want to see more of him on the power play, on that second unit. I want them to use him more, because that guy can really shoot the puck. He can really skate. His defensive zone has gotten so good. So I think you just have to stay the course with these young guys, because they've proven they've done it with guys like Orlov and Schmidt.
I hope you're right. I mean, like, I think Christian Juice is, I'm already of the belief that Christian Juice is an NHL-level defenseman. I think he's, I'm really impressed by him. And if he didn't pan out, I think that the Caps would be in a totally different situation. You know, I think I totally agree with you about the top nine and really that top pairing, especially Orlov. I think Carlson's having a decent season, especially in the point production. Man, he's on fire in that respect. I think that there's a big drop off on that fourth line of the forwards and that third pairing of the defensemen. I haven't yet seen out of Madison Bowie what I want to see. Let's just, you know, assuming that Brooks Orpik's back to playing, like, you know, 17 minutes a night, which is, I think, we've seen him be not just successful, but extremely successful in that role under certain circumstances last year. And that's really encouraging. But I think that drop off from the top nine to the bottom line, perhaps, you know, if the Caps could bring in somebody like, you know, like Dan Winnick, like they had last year, to really get that Beagle line stabilized, you wouldn't see them really just in as dire straits as they're in this year. And then that third pairing over on the defense, I don't know. It isn't there right now. And so I think you're right. When you were talking about Renton D, I was like, oh God, not Mike Weber. Mike Weber had it turns out that, you know, he could hardly walk at the end of his career. He just retired last week. You know, I worry about what kind of moves they'll make. But I fully agree that the Caps are only one or two marginal moves away from being a darn scary competitor again. And I did not feel that way in October or November. But as they made moves, as players got healthy, as they rearranged lines, as they made some tactical adjustments too, I feel like there are the bones of a real team here. And more than anything, I'm surprised that you and I agree about so much about the Washington Capitals right now.
Well, you know, when 140 characters, it's easy to misperceive each other, and but when you can sit down and talk it out, it's always great. That's why I'm really happy you had me on, and I'm optimistic about this team. Let's talk about the most important thing, Peter, in the playoffs: goaltending. Mm-hmm. We need Braden Holtby to play like 2012 Braden Holtby. That playoffs against the Bruins and the Rangers, he was unbelievable. And I love Braden. A lot of people love Braden. But the last couple playoffs haven't been his best playoffs. You got to have your goalie playing the best he can. And I think there was a lot of pressure on the team. They were so good. They had the puck a lot. Sometimes that can be a detriment, right? The goalie doesn't feel the puck, right? You know, sometimes Holtby's his best when he's getting a lot of shots. Not the quality that he had to face at Vegas or early against Boston last night, but you know, you want to feel that puck a little bit and get some shots and get in a rhythm. So, you know, maybe there'll be less pressure on this team going in. I mean, there'll still be pressure because it's the Caps, right? But there's not going to be the Caps are going to win by everybody across the world like it was the last 2 years. They're gonna be written off, which I think is a good thing. But you got to have goaltending in the playoffs. You got to be smart coming out of your own end. They got to lose this cross ice crap that they're doing in their own end. They just got to get smarter about that. And I was encouraged by the last 40 minutes on Thursday night. And then the biggest thing is the offensive zone. The offensive zone, the pucks just got to go to the net. And puck, you guys every night before the game, crash the net, right? The Russian machine never breaks Twitter. Crash the net, score goals, right? You got to get the puck to the net, get pucks and bodies there. And when they do that, they got the guys, Tom Wilson. Brett Connolly's got 8 goals. We talk about he hasn't really played well. He's got 8 goals. He had 15 last year. And, you know, and the one guy who really hasn't taken off yet is Burakovsky, and I really think that's going to happen, Peter. I'm a big fan of Burakovsky. The guy we saw in Dallas is the guy this team needs. If they're going to go far, they need that Andre Burakovsky that played in Dallas last week.
Well, Ed, I don't know how you did it, but you made me excited for 2018.
I guess I'm an optimist when it comes to Caps hockey. I've been around so long, Peter. It's probably because when I was 9 years old, I would go out there and watch them. My dad would drag me to the games when he was covering the teams, and they couldn't even get the puck out of their own end. So I've seen the bottom of all despair when it comes to Caps hockey.
Yeah, when the Caps were working on like a you know, 3-hour scoreless streak there for a minute, when they were building up to that, I was starting to dread it. And then they turned it around, and what do you know? They won a game, and maybe that's what we need to think about for 2018 is turning around a bad trend. Ed, I want to thank you so much for hanging out with me today. Ed Frankovic on Twitter, you can find him on WNST.net. One of my favorite thinkers in the Caps hockey world and the hockey world in general. Ed, you're a scholar and a gentleman. Thank you so much.
You too, Peter. I enjoyed it thoroughly, and let's do it again maybe in a couple months after the trading deadline and see where we're at heading into the playoffs.
I love it. Let's do it.
This has been Russian Machine Never Breaks, the podcast. But now it's over. Nothing to see here. Move along.